All right, gang, it's time for Puck Off. There he is, Joe Bartnik. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. I mean, what a great All-Star weekend.
Wow. I didn't see it, but everybody tells me it was a great format. And John Scott, MVP. How about that?
Amazing.
Amazing. I was one of the people who was skeptical. I didn't think it was necessary, but then I embraced it. But then it worked out fabulous. And if you didn't feel good, if that didn't make it feel good, the whole thing from the best skills tournament I've ever seen.
And who was the fastest skater?
Dylan Larkin.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Red Wing.
Yeah.
Let's
introduce our guest.
Yeah. I was going to say, let's introduce our guest right here. He is the first full-size Ducks fan that we've had.
Is that true?
Well, Brad's yeah. Fun size.
Fun size. That's right. Well,
He's from Bakersfield, but he's a Ducks fan. We're happy to have him. He's a funny comic and a really good guy. Mr. Andrew Boyston is here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
It's our pleasure, buddy. And you are our first full-size Duck fan. You know, that's an honor. Got a great jersey on, great Ducks jersey.
Yeah, I had to rep their third this year. It was a beauty, and I got
that's
it
great.
For Christmas, so...
And by the way, thanks. You helped out the Kings last night.
Yeah.
It was so much.
By beating the Sharks.
And you helped us.
Well, so much did. To talk about.
You're in third place now. Tied
yes.
with Zona.
That's right.
How about that?
I always give the guy, I always say his name wrong, but Des Moines, Deming.
Yeah.
And now he's been pulled in the last two. So maybe I crowned him Arizona's goalie of the future. A little quick. But you're wearing a fabulous jersey, sweater, if you will. And is one question I always wanted to ask, and you're really, you know your Ducks.
Yeah.
When did they go? Because I'm always interested when teams completely kind of change their colors for almost no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So when did orange become the new purple and green?
Yeah, this is actually pretty funny. It was the year we went into being cup contenders, pretty much. So, the year that we won the cup is when we changed our colors. So the old crest used to be the word mark Ducks across the chest. It used to be a little bit bigger than the one that they transitioned to after they won the cup. And then they eventually went to the Web D, and now they're back at the Wild Wing logo for their third jersey.
But that's the duck with the hockey sticks. That's the duck that we all know.
Yeah, that's the Wild Wing. Ducks. Yep, yeah. Wild Wing logo. Yeah.
Right. So, but what I'm asking, and this is great radio, when did orange? I mean, it always was purple and green.
Yeah.
When did you go to the Cleveland Browns color scheme?
Yeah, when did the orange come in and why?
Yeah, you know, it was because of Orange County where they're located. So they wanted to make a big statement there.
Yeah, learn something every week on Puck Off.
The Samuelis, the owners, they decided to go with something that puts a flair more for where they're from. That's why their third jersey with the Web D, whenever they changed to that, had more orange piping on the arm. So now they're actually doing
Disney.
It. Yes. Yeah, they broke from Disney.
Okay,
and
that's when they
changed from the Mighty Ducks to the Anaheim.
Because the Mighty Duck colors from the movie were the green and, blue, right?
Eggplant and jade, yeah.
Yeah.
Tap of the stick to Mr. Bench.
Well, that's a good look
through.
Right there, man. Yeah, way to go, kid. Come on.
Coming off fourth liner, yeah. Jay Bench. Right on. So now you're in the playoffs, so we got you on a high note. You've had a crapola season, and no one loves Getzlaf more than me and Frazier. But I mean, he looked like Crosby, but now Sid snapped out of it.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
And Getzlaf is still in the midst of
what happened to Getz?
Did he come in out of shape? That's what they're rumoring, but I can't believe it.
I know Bob Murray said a lot of guys came out of shape and stuff. I just think that we've seen Getzlaf in a funk before. I think it was like 11 and 12 whenever they were really struggling and they fired Carlisle. And he's came back strong the last two seasons,
yeah.
And I think he'll make a bounce back here in the second half. If there's anybody that I know that's harder on himself than anybody, it's Getzlaf.
That's probably true, yeah.
And he's a captain, you know. He knows how to get out of this funk. He's been in it before. So I have faith in him. He just needs to stop making such tricky passes and get to a more basic style. And
right.
I think once he gets to that point, his passing is going to be superb like it always is.
Well, yeah, he's got all the skills.
And thankfully, Perron from the Penguins, thank you for Hags.
Yeah.
How many times has he gone off sides as a Duck?
We haven't had it.
You know what? He's helped out.
Oh, he's been great. I think he's got 5 points in 6 games. He didn't
get
that's all you can ask, man.
I have not watched him with the Ducks. Are they real points, or are they the secondary assists, or are they the prime? I mean,
he scored goals.
He scored a couple games. I have a what's the opposite of a soft spot? I have a hard spot.
A hard spot for Perron?
Yeah, for Perron. He was one of the reasons why the beginning of the year was the most frustrating for me as a Penguin fan since pre-lottery.
But a nice pickup now. He's helping out. And kind of like Le Cavalier for the Kings.
Oh, Le Cavalier is looking great. Isn't for the he? Kings. I, yeah. mean, I hate it because I'm a Ducks fan. So, I mean, he scored against us whenever we played you guys.
He's really helped them out, hasn't he?
Oh, definitely.
He was the ultimate pickup. And it's nothing funner than seeing people in Philly just watch Le Cavalier dominate.
It's just like this background fun for you, right?
Oh, it's an incredibly back. I mean, I love Le Cavalier when he's in Tampa, and I was really worried that he would get rejuvenated. Like, he didn't buy in to the Philly BS. He never became, you know, like Wayne Simmons, just scored 2 goals last night. Love Wayne Simmons. Great player.
But he's hard nosed.
He's a flyer now. You know, he's a rabbit puncher. He's a, you know, punch a guy when he's not looking in the scrum.
Yeah.
Joe loves the Flyers, by the way.
He's embraced the Flyers. But Cavalier never embraced that side of, you know, he never really became a flyer.
No, and that's not his game, really. If you look at him in St. Louis,
but he was a man. I mean, he's a skilled guy. I mean, he fought at Ginla in the Stanley Cup Finals, and Jerome McGinley is no Girl Scout.
No,
that's not just saying, oh, we're the captains, we're going to fake. I mean, McGinley's a bad son of a gun. So,
but two good pickups for the Kings and the Ducks there. Don't you think?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Shen, you know, as much as I, you know, didn't like Shen as a flyer and don't think he's, that good, he's definitely an upgrade from Erhoff and adds a little juice back there, a little steam. Definitely. It was an incredible pickup. You know, it's just going to be weird if they win the cup, seeing what they do with the Cavalier, because, you know, Philly lied and said, oh, he'll retire when you take him.
Yeah. Well, I think they thought he was done.
I mean, it's dirty poker with the Flyers. But I'll tell you this, too, is, everywhere, the great Earl Skakel, he's, the biggest Kings fan there is, but he's always been saying, Dusty's got to go. Dusty had 2 big goals last night.
Yep.
Just ran Dominique, Domingue out.
Yeah.
He shot one PK Subban style from, like, the red line. It went in. Not even a slapper, just like a wrister.
What stuck out to me yesterday with the Kings and the Coyotes was Muzzin shot.
Oh, right.
That short side beauty right on the opposite. Yeah. Oh, that was beautiful. He really threaded the needle. And every now and then you'll see why these NHLers are in the NHL, and that's it right there.
Well, that was
pretty
that,
amazing sometimes.
That was the
their
beauty.
Skill set.
That was the definitely. Beauty of as much as I say, in reality, John Scott can't play. He did everything at the skills competition that I could never.
And guess what?
I could never do.
He picked up 2 goals in the game.
He picked up
MVP.
2 goals.
How about that breakaway though? That was. I mean, that's a goal scorer's goal.
You know?
And it's not against a scrub. He was up against Ben Bishop, I think.
Yeah.
Who's having a great year?
Yeah.
You know what? It was great to see that. I wouldn't have predicted John Scott doing that. But I'm really glad it worked out like it did, and the All-Star game was exciting again.
Yeah, I
you watched it. What did you think?
I thought it was amazing, and we're going to talk about it right after this.
All right, gang, we're back on Puck Off. Joe Bartnick, who's our special guest?
Andrew Boydston.
You know,
hey-o.
He's from Bakersfield.
In Bakersfield.
He's a Ducks fan.
Yes, I am.
I don't know how that happened. but, you know,
how bad were the Kings the season that you wanted to learn about that you enjoyed hockey, that you became a Ducks fan?
Oh, man, like, I just remember seeing Kopitar and Doughty in the old school King jerseys. Like that, and then being like, who is this team right now? Like, they're not even the Kings, like, to me.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they switch their jersey. It seems to be a SoCal thing. Like, as soon as you switch your jersey and rearrange everything, all of a sudden you're a a competitor.
It didn't happen.
You know, I would switch jerseys every night.
Right.
It didn't happen to the Penguins. They turned out they got the gay pigeon, and that was it. They had to go back to the lottery. They didn't.
The gay pigeon.
You were talking
about the All-Star
game. Just one quick thing I know I want to talk about the All-Star game is Toronto changed their logo.
Yeah, I saw that.
I didn't see it. Did you like it?
Yeah, because they kept it kind of true to the old school.
Did they have the leaf still?
It has the leaf, yeah.
Oh, cool.
There goes one of my tweets.
As long as they keep the leaf, you know. If they lose that leaf, they lost me.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right, well, we'll talk about it later so Johnny can have a tweet, you know.
Yeah, we got to get that in there.
The All-Star game, though, first of all, John Scott, amazing.
Wow. I mean, how'd he do it? I had no idea. You know, everyone was making fun because it was kind of a goof internet thing that he got on there in the first place.
Yes, yeah.
But he played well and was great. And everyone said even off ice he was charming and funny.
Yeah, he kind of stuck it to Roenick a little bit, too.
He got in JR's.
That was the greatest. Whenever you got to see all the people that doubted him and talked shit about him.
And JR was really talking shit.
Oh, everybody was. And then all of a sudden they have to interview him in the midst of his great display.
Well, JR admitted he was wrong. He goes, I was wrong.
And credit to Roenick.
Yeah, he really did. That was cool. That was cool. You're not going to it's got to be intimidating having John Scott in your face.
Well, you know, he's really the funny thing is for how big he is, he's not that good of a fighter. That's the real funny thing is. And that is kind of my one thing about as the phone rings. We're getting everything.
We got it all.
You just want to.
It's those sponsors just calling.
Yeah, they're calling. We can't keep those sponsors away.
John Scott.
This could be John Scott calling in to say, why were you bad-mouthing me last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, my thing with John Scott is they're loving him now, but, you know, he is a guy that, you know, I mean, we make fun of Louis Erickson for being not worth the trade for Sagan, but it was John Scott that knocked Louis Anderson into next year. Like he took Louis Erickson's career away from him.
Well,
basically.
People are mad at John Scott for legitimate reasons.
Yeah, when he went after Kessel, it was BS. I mean, he's done a few things that were not up to code, but everyone embraced it. That was when.
But he was cool this weekend.
Oh, definitely.
He was, and you know what? It was. I thought the funniest thing was I heard that he was the captain, so he put out the lineups for all the skills competitions. And he didn't put Shea Weber in the hardest shot so he could have a chance of winning it.
Oh, wow. Well, you know.
Patty Kane was like, you're playing in Nashville. You got to have to put Weber on. You got to have him in for the hardest shot.
He's the defender of the title. Yeah. Like, you can't keep the defender out, a guy who has taken out his GM's eye, has put a dent in the backboards by missing on a slap shot, and you're telling me we don't want to put him in?
Yeah.
Screw that, Shea Weber all the way. He's the king.
And in Nashville, you got to put him in.
In Nashville, yeah. So it was,
How about the way that John Scott laughed when Kane got booed?
Yeah. If you didn't feel good about hockey after that weekend watching it, you're a hater. I mean, everyone I know that didn't like it was like, you're never going to like hockey then.
Well, no, it was pretty fun. And there was some cool stuff. Subban impersonating Jagr was cool.
It was
that mullet.
It was awesome.
Oh, it was great.
And he even skated like Jagr, which is, you know,
it was his hero.
He's everyone. I mean, it's Jags. And then he saluted like Jagr after he scored.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And then Bernsey wore the Chewbacca mask.
I love Bernsey.
Yeah,
man.
It was a great one. And, you know, just it was. He should wear that mask every game.
Just the Chewbacca mask. Yeah. I'd probably hate the Sharks a lot less if Bernsey would do that. And I love Bernsey. I started following him
on
Twitter over this weekend, and then he did the Chewbacca mask, and I was like, perfect follow.
Yeah. He's a cool dude.
He really is. He had his kids up there. It was for the, you know, I mean, like, if you weren't happy when Sutter's special needs kid got to hug John Scott,
it was a great moment in sports.
You don't have a soul as far as I'm, you know.
Well done, NHL. Yeah, well done.
Absolutely. Gino almost had a Larry Bird moment. You know the thing where they shoot the pucks at the plates?
Yeah.
He was going to break the record, and he pointed to the crowd like, hey, watch this. and he missed it by an inch.
Oh, wow,
like,
man.
That's why there's, I mean, there's only one Larry Legend. Remember now, when he, for the three-pointer, and he's like, he turned his back after he shot it like it's in.
Now, did Larkin beat the old record?
Yes, he beat Gardner.
He beat.
Yeah.
They changed that format a little bit where, like, the two guys weren't, they were doing it a different way, and then for the record, they let him do whatever he wanted. Like, he won, and he won the competition, and then they let him go and chase the record.
Yes.
Wow, that's
so
awesome.
So then he goes,
they moved the nets up, right?
Yeah, something
from
like that.
From the crease, yeah.
And then,
wow, man.
And he broke Gardner's record.
Gardner had it for a while.
Like 20 years
or something. Yeah.
It looked old. The film they showed when he won, it looked old.
Yeah. He actually looked a lot slower in that film.
Yeah, it was that was awesome. Being a Pittsburgh guy, two kids who were born and raised in Pittsburgh, Gibson.
Yeah, Gibby, yeah.
And,
Gibby.
You know, and Sod in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's saying something.
That's cool, man.
And then, you know, my biggest throw of all time was like, Gino and Sod on the same line.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
that's crazy.
I waited my whole life. I waited 3 years for that.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
and that Gino had a couple goals.
What a great format.
Yeah,
it worked out.
I think the coolest part about it was we actually got to see everybody pretty equally as far as the All-Stars. I mean, once your team got eliminated, you know, it takes out a whole division.
Yeah.
But as far as the players themselves, they're getting equal ice time. They're all All-Stars, and we're putting them out there.
Yeah, that's
for the
true.
Same amount
that's
of
right.
Ice time.
That's right.
And I thought that was pretty cool because you got to see what everybody had. God only knows if we're ever going to see Goodrow and Taylor Hall on a line together because holy shit. They had chemistry.
Yeah.
They looked really good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting? That's exciting to see.
It was, yeah.
And the 3-on-3 is cool. I was always against it. At the beginning of the year, I was like, no, I don't like it. And now I love it.
I'm a Ducks fan, and I hate it because we've lost every game that we go to 3-on-3 and lose. But
it looks fun to watch because
it's
like
great.
Pond hockey.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
You know?
Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, you know, you know what? The whole thing was just done so right. Like I'm not a big country music guy, and they had the introductions. They had a band playing music behind the introductions, and it didn't bother me. Like, no, you know, like everything was done so right. Like Pierre Maguire didn't bother me.
Oh, Lee Bryce. Yeah. Lee Bryce was the country.
But
guy.
I liked the way they were having Merle Haggard do in between period commentary. He I don't know what he was talking about, but he was good.
Yeah, I just think the whole...
They had David Allen Coe and goalie. I don't know.
I'm from Bakersfield where the Buck Owens Crystal Palace is, so I was raised on country
you
music.
You love country.
It can't even bother me at all. But I am very impressed, and I thought this ever since we played them in the playoffs a couple of years back. But Nashville, great fan atmosphere.
They did it right. Nashville was great.
Smashville. They seriously,
great host.
I will call you by your nickname because, damn, that was really good. You guys showed that you are a hockey town. That's
yep.
A diamond in the rough. Like,
well
no
said.
One even said that. Like, and then there's Florida, you know. Florida is a team that's doing well, and they're still struggling to fill the stadium. But meanwhile, you got Smashville here, who's battling for a playoff
and
spot in the Central.
It. The fans are into
they're
it.
They're always there.
Cool.
And now Florida has its fans. The thing with Florida is that arena is in the middle of a swampland.
Yeah.
It's really in the middle of I lived down there for a second, and that arena is near nothing.
Yeah, you get the Zika virus just going to the game.
Is there like an alligator warning on the outskirts of the park?
Yeah,
like,
you know. So that, you know.
Good luck getting to your car.
Right.
So you know what? Panthers are amazing, though. Beat the Caps last night.
Yeah, well, the Caps didn't have Ovechkin. That's one thing.
Or Holtby.
That's one thing.
I'm still going to go with it, though.
No, yeah. No.
You know what?
No,
it's not
absolutely.
Like they weren't on absolute fire before the All-Star.
Yeah.
Break, so, yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, they got Bukestad back. So Bukestad and Barkov is probably the best 1-2 center connection in the East. Well, Malkin and Crosby, but you know. Well, I mean, you know,
putting your
it's
homer hat to the side. There
yeah.
you go. Yeah.
Now, can these guys hang on?
Well, my homer hat, but can you really say they're better than Malkin and Crosby?
No, definitely not.
Can they hang?
I can't be wrong.
No, you can't. Be wrong. You can't.
Can
be
they
wrong
hang
there.
In there though? Can they hang in there, Florida?
I really think so because I think people are underestimating how weak almost everybody else is. And how balanced they are. I mean, it's not just Barkov and Bukestad. They got Jágr. They got Trocheck. They got Jussi Jokinen.
Luongo's playing great.
They got Hooper, though.
And then, yeah. and then don't even forget on their D.
Yeah, they have Ekblad. And they got Gabranson, and then some other guys that will nail you. And then it's so big in this day and age, but we hit this last week, but I'll say it again, to have two really competent goaltenders. And as great as Bobby Lou is playing, Montoya won the game last night.
Well, true.
You know, I mean, Montoya, it's like there's no drop-off. You can't.
Well, Bobby Lou was having a great year.
That's actually true. I didn't even think about that. Bobby Lou was on the other side, and we didn't think about him being benched for this game from the All-Star break, and Montoya just took over.
Montoya played great. I mean, and one thing we didn't talk about was what was really even better about the All-Star game was Sid and Ovi weren't there. And the other guys got to really shine.
Right. Kuznetsov.
And Malkin really, he always shines when Sid ain't around. You know, he really took kind of a leadership of being like one of the big stars and kind of screwed around and joked on the bench and was joking with Trotz on the bench and, you know, doing the whole Larry Bird thing and scoring goals. You know, and Subban got to shine. And Kuznetsov got to shine. And other guys got to shine. It wasn't just all Sid and Ovi. And for that matter, Taves wasn't there. And Taves is a big spotlight, too. You like to have him around. But it's nice that you get to see Johnny Hockey and Taylor Hall. And
some of those guys come out a little bit.
Yeah, it was kind of a nice coming out party for those guys.
You would say it's like the changing of the guard, so to speak. These are where we get to see these younger guys who nobody really watches.
Right.
And this is their time to shine. And I'm excited. Johnny Gaudreau. Wow. Like, what a player.
What a player.
He looks like St. Louis part two, right?
Yeah, he really does. That's a good. He's really good.
Yeah. I think Florida's not going away.
So you think they're going to be able to hang in there?
I definitely are going to hang in there. And I think they can scare a lot of people. I think they can beat anybody. And I'll tell you, you know, whatever the thing with, I still think Washington is the team to beat in the East. I picked them.
Oh, yeah,
I picked them day one. But, you know, skipping the All-Star game, it's not good karma. You know, taking the foot off the gas a little bit, screwing around a little bit. You know, it's not you don't want to screw around. You don't want to.
Well, especially the way this All-Star game went. Everybody was excited how it went. It went great. So some of those guys probably regret that they, you know, stayed out.
I think Taze has had enough glory, and Taze really was sick. But Ovi really did just kind of not want to go, and that's fine. I'm just saying, like, you know, Washington, okay, they lost to Florida. Hope he didn't play. Ovechkin didn't play. But you don't want to lose a bunch of games in a row. That's all I'm saying. You don't want to lose your mojo. I'm sure it came at a bad time for them, you know, but.
And it builds confidence for Florida. Even without those two guys to win.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I'll put my Homer hat back on. I know, Eric Fair, who was a very good Capital and hasn't done too much with the Penguins, but was playing a decent third line center. He just got hurt for last night.
Oh,
but
crap.
The Penguins are coming on.
Man, look at Sid. We've been talking, I was watching Barry Melrose last night, and he goes, that's the Sid Crosby that is the best player in the league.
Yes.
He's finally playing like he used to play.
Yeah.
And he looks good.
I'm eating my words. The last couple weeks.
He looked great.
He's looked amazing. He's going to the net. He's scoring goals where he always scores goals, around the paint, in the blue.
So slick down low.
If you get him between the circles, there's nobody I'd rather take as far as a shot.
Oh, yeah. Or a guy who goes to the net.
And stands there and gets all the garbage. He's the best plugger. You know, he's the king of all the garbage goals. That's his office, right there. And when he's not around there, he's not scoring. And their power play is now cranking at 30%.
Now, what do you think woke him up?
Steve Sullivan. They finally have a coach. I've sat here, me and you've sat here for 3 years. What have I said? We don't have a coach. Blausman's not a coach. The other guy, Johnson, wasn't a coach. We need some guy to go in there and say, Sid, this is the way the power play is going to run, and that's it.
Yeah.
They finally got a guy to do that. Now they're at 30%.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's like that's – it took someone to go, hey, Sid, you're playing here. Gino's playing here. You're going to shoot the puck, and that's it. They got Letang shoot. Letang's actually hitting the net now. Letang couldn't hit the side of a barn. He couldn't hit the ocean from the beach.
So this
now Letang's playing well. Yeah. You know, I mean, the funny thing is last night was the first time that Fleury looked bad in about 2 years.
Right, right.
He gave up five. But, you know,
you guys won it anyway.
But they're, I mean, the team is looking not good right now. And kind of, I smell a little blood in the water for us to catch to get into third or second, to get in the third is the New York Rangers. And now, Klein went out last night. And you guys know how much I love, I love Klein, their defenseman. Like,
well, Rangers,
they're in bad shape.
Rangers right got now off to a terrific start and now have really had some troubles.
Same with the Canadians.
Yeah, same thing.
The Canadians are out now.
Yeah, no, they're dive bombing right now.
Yeah, they are. That's scary. What do you think happened there?
What I mean, it's Price. It's got to be,
just
right?
Having Price out this long.
Having Price out this long, I mean, you're starting to see that this Price guy, he's just not...
He was that good.
He's not just the pillar of the franchise. Like, he is also something to the room.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it just seems like whoever... is out there on the ice, they don't play with the same confidence whenever they've got 31 in the pipes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's his number, right? 31.
You know, I don't even know, but you're right in what you're saying. I think that's true. It's not just on the ice. Their confidence level went down when he went out.
They're not scoring goals.
Well, that's
you know, I mean, you know, we can bash Condon and obviously we'll bash Scrivens, but if you're not scoring goals, you're not going to beat anybody. Like they're really not scoring. They're not even pressuring anybody, you know? So they're not even getting that many power plays.
No, yeah. They need a goal score. You think trade deadline, they've got to get somebody.
They're going to go after someone because the bottom line is, I don't think they're going to fire Terry Nebutch. She'll be gone by the time this podcast comes on Friday.
Well, you and
every
I always
time I make a pronunciation.
Hey, we stuck with Barbecue Bruce. That's what you call him, right? Barbecue Bruce?
Yeah, but he's living on bars.
And we've always liked Terry.
He's Iron Mike. He's a great coach.
Michelle Terry.
You know, he's a great coach, but. Well, I thought his number would be expired 2 years ago because the way he runs his team, but he's still there. And it's not him. Like, they're not – I mean, they probably will can him to get a breath of fresh air, but
– Now, when does Price come back?
Not for, like, another month.
Yeah, he's out for a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah, like, it's scary for them, you know. I'll tell you, the guy who came back, though, it was amazing – last night was Connor McDavid.
Holy crap, man.
What a goal.
What a
score.
Goal. What a goal, man.
And he had like four or five would-be assists that the goaltender made sweet. You know, he made a couple passes that were just sick. He picked a pocket last night. He looked like Fedorov.
Scary goal.
It's a guy who absolutely just has outstanding hockey IQ that you can't teach. This is a guy who has been raised and groomed to be a successful player. And he has the skill.
And he's fast.
Awesome talent.
He's so fast.
Awesome talent. Ooh.
And he can stick handle at full speed.
How
oh my
the
God.
Hell did he keep that puck whenever he split those two defenders?
Unbelievable.
And one of them is like literally right in front of him.
Yeah.
Like right in front of him. And he still keeps the puck.
Well, that's another thing Barry Melrose commented on last night on SportsCenter. He goes, that kid can really play. He goes, he's as good as you get.
It looked exactly like a Jager goal. They were showing a thing on Jager. It looked exactly like Jager. Like,
and that's him coming
as
back.
As a retrospective of like when he was a Penguin, when Jager had the wheels, how he just went right through two guys. Just
by the way, I saw Jager make an unbelievable assist. I think it was last night.
Oh, yeah.
Well, unbelievable.
Well, there was a tic-tac-toe play. They had a 5-on-3, and Barkov and Bustead, like literally like 2 feet from the whoever the Washington backup goalie was, like right in front of his face. Like,
right
like
in front of Grubauer?
Yeah, like right in front
oh,
of
man,
him.
Oh, man, Jager made a nice little backhand pass. It was so cute.
Oh yeah, that was last week. Yeah,
oh, was that last week? Oh, I just saw it on a highlight.
Yeah, no, that was amazing.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah, no.
So he can still do it.
Oh, he's going to play another 3 more years.
Wow.
You think so?
He's going to play at least 2 more because he's definitely going to play next year. And then, no matter what, someone will have him come one more year.
Well, then
Jager's going to take the money.
Yeah,
you know, so someone
he'll go wherever.
Right.
He's a plug and play guy.
Maybe he can have Subban play as him.
Maybe you can go to the Ducks and get that cup that we were trying so hard to get Solani.
The only Patrick Division team he hasn't gone to is
is the New York Islanders. So he could finish off the old Patrick division.
That would be pretty cool, actually. Yeah,
it would be cool. I mean, you know, my whole dream is to come back and play for the Penguins.
A little scary for you. I mean, because he would be in the East, and you know, he'd be with the Islanders. That would be pretty difficult.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like the Islanders. You know, I mean, I don't root for them when they play the Penguins, obviously, but I love Tavares, and I think he's the next great superstar.
Brock Nelson's a great center.
And Okpozo, and you know, I used to really dig Harmonic until he became. I have family problems and I want
to
leave.
He wants
it's like,
to leave.
Well, you know, you make millions of bucks. Move your family to Long Island. You don't do that. I don't know. Like it took a little bit. You know,
but I like the Isles.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah,
and they got a lot of good players.
Yeah, but I'm not a Tomas Grice like ripped the Penguins fans. It's like Tomas Grice never made a save as a Penguin. Like,
yeah,
I enough of Tomas. So I like to see him get lit up, see him get run.
I enjoy the Islanders. Like you said, Johnny T, who I believe should be Johnny Hockey, but you know, Johnny Manziel's Johnny Football, short guy.
Yeah. Well, it was the college thing.
Huh?
It was the college thing because he won the Hobey Baker, which is like the Heisman in hockey.
Did they win the Bean Cup that year?
Johnny Hockey?
Yes.
I don't follow anything but the NHL.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like in college, they have.
I don't remember, huge. But he has played well.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
He's a talented kid. He's Frazier's guy.
Oh, yeah. I love him, man. Hey, here's another team that's really coming on right now, Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
Nine out of the last 11 games. Drouin still wants to go.
Influx, yeah.
Yeah, he wants to leave. But Bishop's played very well lately.
He's played amazing. Stamkos is their best. I mean, you know, he's even with limited ice time, he's still their best player.
I still think one of the best players in the league.
Oh, absolutely.
Wouldn't want him?
John Cooper, their coach. He's the only guy who doesn't seem to like. I mean, how can they go a game when he's the eighth most played forward?
Oh man, and he's got such a heart for the game.
Yeah,
he plays hard.
Yeah, I wasn't sold on Tampa last year, so I'm not going to be sold again this year. You know, I there's just something about him. I just don't.
You don't think Tyler Johnson's coming on?
That kid's deadly when he's on,
isn't he? In the playoffs last year?
Killer instinct,
How
man.
Good was he?
Just he knows the areas of where to score from, and he can score from all of them.
And, you know, you're right. And the thing is, maybe some of these other people can actually skate faster than him, but I don't think anyone looks faster in a game than him.
Yeah.
When he's on.
That's probably pretty true.
Yeah, some fast guys.
Nyquist.
Oh, I know.
Nyquist.
That's my favorite player.
Nyquist definitely is has a guy.
What do you think of Nyquist? Nyquist?
I think he's great. I think he's probably the second Datsyuk. But, I mean, I don't want to put that pressure on him. I don't want him to be up to the same bar as the Magic Man. But he just looks like, you know, 2.0 Datsyuk.
I just love the guy. I think he's
Quick
disappeared
stick.
A little bit this year.
He has been the Magic Man. He's disappeared this year.
He hasn't done much, but I think his skills
stick.
Are there. Yeah, he's
quick.
That's why I
do.
Said he was the best player in the league. I made that outrageous comment last year.
I actually think that he might be a packaged on a block.
Boo.
Well, you know, because I mean,
we'll give you Votnin in a first.
Well, Dylan Larkin has definitely picked up his slack.
That's
it,
true.
It seemed like everyone else is doing it except him this year, actually.
I don't know what that is.
You know, even
because he's good.
Yeah, but you know, Cronwell is now on long term IR.
Ooh.
And that really hurts.
Yeah, that hurts.
So they're probably going to have to go get a defenseman. So, I think that he's part of the, you know, I would put Nyquist in the Buffalo package.
You would? Yeah.
I think Nyquist can get you Buffalo. You're going to have to throw something that no one else can throw to get Buffalo.
Well, as much as I love Nyquist.
It's going to be such a bidding war.
As much as I love Nyquist, I'd give him up to get Buffalo.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
No, exactly. But I mean, I think without Dylan Larkin, I think you can say, well, he's the future. You know, he's one of the future pieces.
If he can just get on track.
But with Larkin, you're like, well, we have a future. It's Dylan Larkin.
Now, do you think they trade Buff?
I think the further they slip down, I think that they're going to make one big run at him. And it's really up to Buffalo. You know, he's loved in Winnipeg, but maybe he sees the writing on the wall.
You probably get three guys for him.
Think about what a star he is, how good he is, and think about if he goes to New York, how big he would be.
Oh, man.
You know, yeah. I mean, he has to see that in his mind, you know, hit the free agent.
Well, I'm sure he sees it.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he might love it there, but
it's more about Jets management.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just don't know. What do they want to do? They need to do something, and he's their biggest chess piece.
Yeah. Him and Ladd.
And Ladd, too. And Ladd, yeah.
But Ladd is, you know, Ladd isn't going to get you what
Buffalo gets you.
What Buffalo gets you. And on the flip side, you know, keeping Ladd's not going to be the same as keeping, but I mean, Bufflin's, we say it every week, Bufflin's, he changes the game. He changes the rules.
Yeah. Like
If he goes to the Penguins, it changes everything. If he goes to the Islanders, it changes every whatever team he's going to go to. It changes
every team.
Everything. Yeah. It changes everything on whatever team he goes to. He changes everything. Whereas Ladd, hey, it'd be nice to have Ladd on every team, but Ladd's not changing everything.
Well, you know, we say the same thing about Stamkos going anywhere. He obviously is an unbelievable player. So anywhere he goes, he's going to be huge.
But the
defense is a premium in the NHL, so Buff's even more valuable, in my opinion, because whoever gets him gets defense,
right?
And that's exactly a premium.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you,
top four defensemen are hard to come by,
aren't they?
And,
yeah,
you know, I've always loved Stevie Y, but I'll tell you, if he picks Cooper over Stamkos, if it ever leaks out that Stamkos would take $10 million and he gets rid of Stamkos, Yzerman needs to take a drug test.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking, what are they thinking?
Yeah, I mean, if he wants like more money than Taves and Kane, and he's going to play the prima donna role, then I say good riddance. Okay, or not good riddance, but okay. We have Kucherov, we have Ben Bishop, we have Hedman, guys. We got Palat, guys. We got a peg. And okay, you're not a $14 million guy or $30 million guy. But if he would take like Kopitar money or whatever, $10 million.
Right,
they're crazy to get rid of them.
They're
literally crazy to get rid of them.
Yeah,
I don't know where they think what they think is going to happen. Like, I mean, you know, your guy is not Stamkos.
Yeah, yeah,
he's not Stamkos.
Whoever you got,
never will be.
Whoever you got.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care about career year or anything. Stamkos is a glorious talent. He's one of those guys
Johnson is not Steven Stamkos.
No,
I love Kucherov. Kucherov is close, but he's not Steven Stamkos.
He's more of like a power forward type fit, isn't he? Like a bigger guy?
Yeah, well, he plays a power game.
Okay, plays the ball more.
Fact is, there's very little. I mean, other than Luch and Evander Kane and...
Oh, by the way, I want to ask...
They're not really in Simmons. They're not really power forwards anymore, so...
Yeah,
I want to ask Andrew what he thinks about the addition of Luch.
Of Lucic, to the Kings,
yeah.
You know, he's just that extra agitator that we got to deal with, as far as a big guy, a big brawny body, which is what the Kings and the Ducks are known for playing.
Yep.
I mean, for years I've heard us called the Boston Bruins of the West Coast.
Right.
So it's really fun to see how our two styles mesh against each other.
Yeah.
Because I think Lucic is great for the rivalry.
He's paid off for them, hasn't he?
Oh yeah, he's definitely been doing the dirty work and getting up in front of the net, putting away the trash, and
still getting
at the beginning. I remember the beginning of the season when the Kings just started like something really bad in the first 10 games, and everybody was like, "Trade Kopitar, trade Lucic, he's not even worth it." And I was like, "Now, how do you feel?"
Yeah, like, good point.
Who was
good
saying point. Trade Kopitar?
I don't even know, okay. Man. just a bunch of NHL sports talk nobodies on Facebook. That's pretty much it.
I have two. Since you're here, I have two questions for you.
Yes, of course.
What do you think of Beleski and Palmieri doing well in Boston
and
New Jersey? I didn't think they were. I thought they were good, but they're doing excellent where they're at.
Yes.
And it looked like it really hurt the Ducks not having them
at the beginning. Yes.
Yeah. So what? You're just your thoughts?
I'll say this: they were brought up in the Duck system. They were kind of you know, made to build these or to play this brawny game, this more like tough body first stylistic game. And then they move over to the East, where there's not really a team that stands up to the worst as far as that style in the West. Right. But they beat you with their speed. Palmieri, that's where he comes in. Palmieri's doing great. He's a speedy guy. He was our third line changeup guy. And though you didn't, you know, see him on the score sheet a lot, he was doing great things on the ice.
Yeah.
And some nights he would just dazzle you. He would do some crazy shit, especially when he played New Jersey. For some reason, he always scored on an Atlantic trip over there. And then as far as Bolesky goes, I love Bolesky. He was a fan favorite for me. I got to see him since he was a little duckling waddling up to the pond. But, I mean, last year, whenever he got a shooting coach, and that was his big secret, apparently, he just hired a shooting coach, and he just started burying them. And then I'll never forget that that shot over Crawford in Game 5.
What a shot.
Oh, it was great. I mean, like, he just went to a knee and Kessler set him up and then boom. There boom.
Yeah, and that's what but it seemed like beginning of the year they were missing those two on offense. And
I did.
And then one more question as we have you. Cam Fowler is back.
Yes, he is.
Yes,
and
Fowler.
And it's noted or it's deemed that people think that they're rich on the blue line.
Oh, definitely.
With young guys. And I tend to believe that, but they are young. So you got to give to get.
Yes.
Of your blue line, who would you get rid of? Or who's untouchable and who isn't?
Who's untouchable?
And it's, you know, to go get whatever you would need.
As far as you have untouchables, I think Lindholm is the one guy that we just can't trade away.
I'd agree with that.
Hampus Lindholm is a pillar of our defense.
What about Vatanen? Would you get rid of Vatanen?
Vatanen is a goal scorer. He does cough up the puck a lot,
he'll get you a goal.
But he's like a Yandel, right? That's the curse word
in this show.
Okay, but what I'm saying is Vatanen is going to be if we keep Vatanen, I guarantee he will be the single season highest scoring defenseman. Because he just knows how to find the net.
Yeah, he can. He can score.
Whether it's a blast or whether it's jumping up in the play in the rush, he just seems to know what
to do. So you're okay with him missing a few as long as he can score a couple.
And how about Simone Dupre? You enjoying his welcome back? He's just started skating. He's back with the team.
Honestly, everybody wants to sit there and talk about like what the Ducks did and all the future that they traded away last year. And I think Dupre was that one silent steal that we made.
Oh, it was an absolute steal. I love the Reverend Ben Lovejoy. He's a nice family guy, but I mean, that was grand theft larceny. Literally, it's taken three deals now that Rutherford's made, like getting Hagelin and getting Daly to turn the team around to make people say, okay, well, we're not going to throw Rutherford off a bridge.
Yeah.
For giving away some of the prey.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I guess he was a fan favorite. I mean, everybody I saw as far as on the Ducks page that was a Pittsburgh fan, they were all talking and ranting and raving about this guy. And I was like, okay, well, I'll take a look at him, take a look at some of his highlights and stuff. He's a great puck-moving defenseman.
Yeah. He's a big guy.
You need that.
He started being physical the last couple of years in Pittsburgh. He's being physical. And, we hear all about, Derek Pouliot. We didn't get Kessler because of Derek Pouliot, and we didn't get Saad because we're keeping Derek Pouliot. Now Pouliot's finally playing with the Penguins. He looks okay. And Disco Dan, for years, always, crapped on, Dupre. And it's like, he always looked better than Pouliot's ever looked. Like, I'll trade Pouliot tomorrow for Dupre. Like, I don't get Pouliot. I always thought because Dupre was being physical then, and that's what the Penguins
need that.
Don't have anyone to do that.
Hey, speaking of your I ask this every week. What do you think Phil Kessel's doing so far?
I think he's. I think getting Hagelin was absolutely huge for him, and it's that line is now exploding because the line before was Gino doing everything and then possibly helping out Phil Kessel.
Right,
and Kessel would do okay. Thing with Phil is Phil, unless he's rushing up by himself, he doesn't create his own shot. Unless he has a breakaway or there's a lead stretch pass, he doesn't create his own shot.
Right.
So Gino, Gino has to like cook his dinner and then make sure Phil gets to eat.
Yeah.
Whereas Hagelin can help Phil get his shot
because he's got the
speed.
Then
Gino can just worry about Gino, and that's what Hagelin's been getting these great assists and Kessel looks amazing, and it's not all on Geno. It's worked out. I mean, I think Kessel owes him a car. I mean, it's really worked out very well.
That's cool.
for Kessel with Haglund. You know, it's really – and because no one's ever – Kessel's played pretty good. It's just a lot that – it's just the way – that's what's funny, like the way things mesh. Remember, like Luch didn't look good at the beginning with Kopitar. You're like, why didn't he look good with Kopitar? Because it took a while to mesh.
To get the chemistry.
Yeah, building up chemistry is crucial. But at the same time, you got Haglund, who was kind of a nemesis to the Penguins a little bit for the Rangers, right? Like,
he's so fast.
He's very fast. And he also is very good at passing, very good at penalty killing. So I think that's the improvements that the Penguins needed.
Especially with Dupree, gone forever. And that's what they brought up, all these rookie guys that could skate. The Penguins got fast in the last 3 months. They brought up Rust and these other guys that can skate and have a little bit of hands. And they brought in Daly. And Daly can fly.
Yeah.
The whole game just got sped up. You know, Haglund can fly. Like, these guys can fly. This has been the most frustrating season for me up until about 3 weeks ago.
Now
I'm all in.
Yeah. Now you're in it. Yeah. Hey, same with the Ducks, man.
Same thing. No, that's right. That's true.
The Red Wings have been the only team in that have been consistent at this table. And because even the Kings, the West, no offense, the Pacific has been so bad that even the Kings have gone for like stretches where like they look terrible, but they haven't been bad enough to like have it affect them.
But if you look at, look at it right now, like the Pacific is probably coming on stronger than anybody.
I agree with that.
Right.
I agree. And I think to me, Kings, I wouldn't count them out for winning the cup.
No, I mean, to me, it's Chicago, then the Kings, then the Capitals. And then after that, I don't really know. The one piece of big news that happened this week, a huge piece of news, what happened last Wednesday night was Dennis Weidman. Crushed the linesman, Mr. Henderson. And the first time I saw it, someone was like, can you comment on this? And that's why I shouldn't do it. I should always let Johnny wait for Twitter. I was at the Comedy Store. I looked at it on my phone and I'm like, he ran into him. I go, well, they got to give him a game. Cause you got to protect the linesman.
Yeah, you do.
And then after I watched the second, I'm like, oh my God. And so an idiot, like I tweeted out, like, oh, you gotta protect the zebras, give him a game.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, like I looked at my Twitter feed and like 30 people, like, Barnicky, he crucified him. Like, he ran him right over.
Well, he did.
Know? And then I saw my big television screen, like, oh my God.
You can see.
He absolutely crushed.
But guys, let me ask you something. What was he thinking?
I don't know. And he went,
who goes after the official like that?
What call could have been that bad that was missed?
Well, he got crushed on a check before that.
Okay. Right. All
right. And the thinking was that either A, he was a little dingy from that, and that's why he did it, or they was just mad that it didn't get called.
But he stayed in the game. And the thing was like, you know, he should have known that that wasn't the referee because he didn't have the orange armbands. The linesman's not calling that.
Yeah. Plus, a hard cross check like that is dangerous to anybody that doesn't see it coming.
Oh, he
especially let alone without pads.
Yeah, exactly. That was not cool.
No, so, not at all. And I feel like such an idiot on the first day. Like, oh, you got to give him a game.
Yeah.
I thought, like, on my phone, look, he just kind of ran into him. I didn't see the whole cross.
No, it was gnarly. He nailed him.
That was what Chelios would have been. That was like clearing the crease in the playoff game.
He put it down. He put him down, yeah.
Now, what do you think is going to happen?
He got 20 games.
Is that what he got?
20 games.
We finally did a show.
Good, I can see it.
We finally done a show where we were up with the news.
Oh, okay, good. I didn't know.
But you always break great news. But, I mean, usually I'll come on and make a pronouncement like, we'll never trade Lecavalier because he's too kind.
Yeah, did that from the last one.
We're like, this is going to happen. And it's like, it never happened.
His contract is too much. His contract can't make it.
Yeah. The kind of news I got was like Vilarmov won his lawsuit over his ex-girlfriend. But
yeah, he's back.
Know, yeah. But
So he doesn't owe her any money. So
she owes him money.
She owes him money now.
What?
126K.
Yeah, 125 or 126, yeah.
How's she going to make, without, this is a family show, how is she going to make that kind of money?
Well, I think we can all think of it.
I know. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. How is you know, what's she going to do? I guess she'll be, I guess she'll be smuggling rubles.
Yeah. We need Dean Del Rey to come in and sing, "What do you do for money?"
Exactly. With Putin.
But, yeah, so 20 games. He got 20 games. And that's, he deserves that.
He certainly does. He earned it. He didn't even come out of the game.
Did he say anything afterwards?
He wasn't even that apologetic.
Wow.
And he didn't come out of the game. He didn't even do the fake, "Oh, I had a concussion," go in the...
Wait a minute. Here's my question. We've seen this a couple times this year. Why was there no call on that?
I'm guessing that play was going on. Yeah.
No one saw it?
Yeah, I'm guessing no one saw it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because if anybody saw that, oh, it's like a five
You'd have
minute,
to call it.
For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
who they playing the Avalanche, right? Or who were they playing? I forget. I just had in my notes. Whatever. That whole bench was standing up screaming. Oh, they were playing Nashville because it was what is this?
Yeah, and I saw all the Nashville guys like even pointing their gloves at the ice. Like, come on.
Even James Neal was like, that was a cross check.
The real deal,
James
weighing in.
Neal.
Yeah.
What do you think? So he didn't say anything? He didn't apologize?
He didn't apologize. You know, you know what? I mean, the coach up there, Hartley, he should came back and said, "You're gonna go. You have to go to the dark room and pretend like you have a concussion, or you're gonna sit out 20 games." Like, no one even thought to do that. Like, he was playing again in that game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's just absolutely crazy. All right, we have a very, very, very an all-star edition of the awards,
and I have a new award.
And
you may not go for it.
A new award coming up right after this. All right, everybody, we're back. Thank you for still listing the Puck Off. And once again, thanks, Yulee's Tobacco Company, UHLEES.com, for all your tobacco needs anywhere around the world. And if you're in Milwaukee, stop by. They're the best. And Pro Hockey News, check those guys out. My latest article is up with them. The awards. Let's start out with a brand new award.
The new award. No one's going to get it. But
no one remembers
this guy.
Oh,
it's Howie Young, the Howie Young Award.
Flew in from Miami Beach, BOAC. Didn't get to bed last night. On the way to paperback, was on my knee. Man, I had a dreadful flight. I'm back in the USSR.
The Howie Young, that's you, the original six. Is that that's the
yeah,
original
that's OG.
Two.
He was a defenseman. He actually went on to become an actor, too. But he played for the Red Wings, and he would wear a Beatles wig. It was back when the Beatles were just hitting, when he was in practice and pregame, when
really?
He was skating around. Yeah,
that's
he tried to wear it in the game, and they stopped him.
Yeah.
But he had the Beatle wig on. And so I figured we should give one because, you know, Burnsy had on the Chewbacca mask.
Yeah.
Whoever does something weird for the week like that, I think we should have an award.
Oh, right.
I think
on.
That's pretty cool.
Like
right? Even with PK Subban, the Yags.
Yeah, with the Yags mullet.
Right.
I mean, somebody's going to do something goofy every week.
Hey, absolutely. I mean,
right?
I guess it's, otherwise. So for the OGs, it'll be the George Young.
Howie Young.
The Howie Young Award.
Right.
And for the new kids, it'll be the John Tortorella Award.
There you go.
Because he does something weird every week, too.
He could win every week.
Yeah.
I could see Perry getting in on that a couple of times.
Sure. There's always something goofy.
Squirting water in Jeff Carter's glove during the playoffs.
See, I love that. I love that. Anything like that.
Howie Young. Now, what would the song be?
We'd have to go of the Beatles song, I would think. Well, you know, because
which one?
Well,
we're putting the legendary DJ on the spot.
Let's do "Back in the USSR" for Fedorov.
Hey!
Well, we'll
for Putin.
For Putin, yeah.
Got it.
I actually brought up Putin.
Putin it in there.
Because I never talk politics in general ever or on stage, but something came up and I was like, I'd vote for Putin because I love hockey and vodka and broads like Putin. There was a lady literally from the Ukraine in the second row gave me the finger for the next half hour.
Oh,
oh no.
Well, I'm like, the Ukraine is weak, like on Seinfeld. She gave it.
Right?
Oh.
It was funny. All right, the awards. Here we go. We've had some great fantasy. I'm still in 10th place.
I did not change. The leaderboard hasn't really changed because nothing changed from last week. So that's all the same.
I'm up 4.5 points.
Oh, look at the Johnny Bench there.
Wow.
Look at that. Boom, boom, boom.
How'd that happen?
Now, Dirtball Award, I think that one's easy.
Going with what's his name?
Weidman. Dennis Weidman.
Dennis Weidman.
Yeah, Weidman gets it.
That's an easy one. Now, the Dio. Mad Hatter, Sidney Crosby.
Got to give it to Sid.
Only one that got a hat trick this week. Boom, boom, boom.
There you go.
Now he's back. He's looking great.
He's in the scoring race now. He's like in 17th place.
20 goals.
I'll put on. Yeah, Geno's in sixth. No one's catching Patty Kane. Patty Kane's ahead by like 19.
Oh, he's on a league of his own.
Not this year.
Excuse me. Okay. Now speaking, coming out. No, there's no Claude Lemieux this week. No Mario Lemieux this week. Now, here's an interesting one. For Skirt of the Week, I'm giving them to all the Winnipeg Jets. We're letting the Dallas Stars have a 3-on-0.
Oh.
Everybody quit?
Wow.
Everybody. I can see a 2-on-0. A 3-on-0.
No, that rarely happens.
That's like college hockey, and you got to be like the Fighting Sioux to get on that type of thing.
Yeah.
That's like the NBA. That's such a lack of effort.
Yeah.
I mean,
Fighting Sioux versus Kent State.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, that is
Kent State's actually pretty good.
And everyone knows I love the Winnipeg Jets, but that was pathetic. And that was just pathetic. Pathetic. Okay, now here's one you never thought we'd give it away. See, because people think, oh, you should have gave the Dio to John Scott. People.
Well, I was going to think that. Yeah.
No, because he gets the most honored award on this show, the Bob Probert.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Get a goal in a fight in the All-Star game.
You can't beat that. And he also introduced a little bit of that grittiness by putting Patrick Kane on his ass before he scored that goal.
No, that you're thinking of the wrong one. You're right. But that was just a little bit of a love tap. We actually have a different hit in the All-Star game.
Oh, okay.
Coming up. But yeah, that was a John Scott love tap.
Oh, I mean, coming John from Scott, it's a love tap. But
you know, he does the Pro Bear Award. He deserves it.
Hey, 2 goals in a fight, and he's a goon. So, you know, Bob shined down on him.
Yeah, he did.
And that
Bob
weekend.
Bob would have been proud.
You know, Bob would have been at Tootsie's. Yeah. In Nashville.
Yeah. Of course.
And carried on the shoulder of his former teammates that set him up, Pavelski and Burns. I thought that was a pretty cool moment as well.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're not injured reserve for breaking their necks when they pick John Scott up.
Yeah.
All right. So now we have the saves of the week. A little Cinderella for the kids. And one announcement for the save of the week was the save of the week last week was for Holtby, and I couldn't find it anywhere online. And I turned on the TV and it was like on the saves of the week. And it's like, how could NHL Game Center not pick it as a great save?
Oh, yeah.
But it's on
It was an amazing save last week.
Great save.
And we couldn't find it online. So that's why. So I put up the GoPro ad for everyone. So, but we should be able to find these saves. So the three saves of the week are Brandon Holpe on RJ Umberger last Wednesday night. Jonathan Quick with the quick stick out of the air to stop Jerome McGinley, which McKinnon and Duchesne of Colorado said it was the greatest save they've ever seen.
That was a pretty slick save.
Yeah. Yeah. Yankee guy, they always say, you know, you want to get up where mama keeps the cookies. And again, Le did, or he tipped it that way, and then boom, a quick just knocked it out.
To me, no one has quicker reflexes.
And oh,
that's why he's driving the quick.
Yeah.
And then a sick one last night was our buddy Antti Niemi with the leg on Shifley. It was ridiculous last night. So, whichever one, Captain, or
I gotta go quickie.
Go quickie, and the guest agrees.
Yeah, I'll go with quick on that one, and just an honorable mention: Gibson in the All-Star game on Sagan.
Well, there we'll see, and you can see my notes. I'm not cheating. Two bonus ones, because we count them for the official ones because they weren't in actual play.
Yes, how do you like Gibby? How do you like him?
I love Gibby. I think he's great. Oh, he's great, and I'm extremely ecstatic to have him on a two-way contract right now because we could just move him up and down at
You're gonna play Barbecue Bruce with a guy who pitched a shutout at an All-Star game.
There's really no way.
You're gonna mess with Andrew. You're gonna mess with Gibson.
Well, it's nice to have a good backup.
He's going to be our guy of the future, and
you're
going to
bury him in the minors.
If we're willing to make the jump this year, I think we could get some huge return for Freddie and Sammy Vatanen or someone else on our blue line.
Now, does Hans Christian Andersen stick around? What do you think?
I mean, like, I love Andersen, and he did a great job for us in the playoffs, so it's really tough. Like, I'm on a coin flip with these two guys because they're both looking so great. But
good to have two good guys.
I lean toward Gibby just because of how highly toted he was. He represented his country in the U.S. Junior Olympics.
Pittsburgh kids, he's tough.
Sorry, the juniors, and he looked great. Yeah,
he's good.
As long as he can stay healthy, I think he's our guy of the future.
I think so.
He is the future. The other All-Star game save that was highway robbery, grand theft larceny, was the great Bobby Lou, Roberto Luongo, on Gino with the glove.
Wow.
It was sick.
Bobby Lou's looking good these days.
It was a sick one. All right.
Left-handed larceny.
Yes. Now the goons of the week. The goons of the week. Everyone's favorite award. Here we go. Here we go. There's some really fun ones this week. TNT. I'm dynamite. TNT. I'll win the fight. TNT. I'm a power. TNT. Watch me explode. We have Milan Lucic on Shears, the linesman. Did you catch that?
No, I heard about that.
Yeah, well, Lucic, they were scrumming in front of the net, and Lucic threw a straight right hand and missed everybody. He was aiming for McCormick, or McLeod, excuse me.
McLeod, yeah.
And he hit Shears, the linesman.
Linesmen are taking a beating this week.
Yeah, and Shears is one of the tough old school linesmen. If you see him, you recognize him. He's like does every one of all the big games.
Yeah.
And Shears didn't flinch. Shears just looked at him like, you hit the wrong guy.
And I think it might be that why there's no disciplinary hearing for Lucic, something like that.
Well, no, I mean, that was totally, he just didn't mean, I mean.
That was an accident.
He's not the first.
That wasn't like the wide
collateral damage.
To get hit, in collateral damage. I think Lucic would be more embarrassed that he didn't knock him down. Because it was a straight right hand. Yeah. I mean, that's
an old school lineman. takes a lot to knock him down.
He's from the 90s, that guy.
Yeah.
Now we have a great one. Our buddy's back on the board. Everybody's back on the board. Big Buff just absolutely hit a Stevens, just absolutely crushed Stevens, where he almost did the cartwheel like last year. And then three guys jumped him, WWF style, and Buff knocked the first two down.
Come on.
The whole team went after him. Buff's like, you better clear the bench to knock me down. Yeah.
You could actually find a couple of different videos where Buff is taking out like three guys at a time. It's ridiculous.
It's the best. And then a real cheap elbow by a Steen of St. Louis last night against Ribeiro of Nashville. And it's funny, Ribeiro hasn't been hit that hard since his babysitter went after him.
I give it to the babysitter. She gets the award.
There you go.
Yeah. Ribeiro's had some personal issues. Let's just say that. And then the extra bonus one for the All-Star game was the greatest after Malkin made a sick assist to Letang on the first goal. He literally ran over Dylan Larkin for a pick and interference, and that's what he ran him over.
Well, I
he
can't give him to,
but that was that's what Barry Trotz was laughing like on the bench.
Yeah. Well, I can't give it to him if he ran over Larkin.
Yeah,
no, it's got to be our two favorite
Buff.
It's got to be Buff.
Good old Buff.
Come on,
Buff's the stuff.
He is, man.
Got to be Buff.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. We'll be back with Twitter and Mr. Anthony Johnny Bench
on Puck Off after this.
First tweet goes to Dental Damnation.
Oh, he's a regular.
Oh yeah, okay, you know, cool.
Regular fan.
I just enjoy the pun.
Yeah, I like it.
Double entendre.
He says Danny Sedin with the most points on winning team in the All-Star game graciously allows the goon the
you know, what was funny was they actually the league put up, because I guess whoever cheered the loudest, it was kind of like at a baseball game where you're like, "Oh, what's your who wants to hear satisfaction?" Or, you know, like at the seventh inning stretch, like at the Dodger game, they actually put three names up of who they could pick from the team, the arena,
right.
And they booed that they wanted that they were only going to vote for John Scott.
Yeah,
yeah. So maybe like so, I think the league might have wanted to give it to Sedin, but the fans spoke. It should have been John Scott. So
yeah,
thank you, Mr. Damnation.
Damnation's cool though.
Ivan Hewitt tweets: McDavid's first game back is against CBJ. Wonder what sort of price Torts put on his head.
You know, it was great because they couldn't catch him.
Yeah. Whatever it was, yeah. it didn't really matter.
Maybe Tortorella's on pain pills too because he had his ribs broke in practice. They still think Hartnell paid someone to knock him out.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You're right. You couldn't catch him last night.
He was amazing last night. He looked better than I remember him looking.
Yeah,
and he looked pretty good, but I didn't remember him being that like that much faster than everybody.
And doesn't it usually take a couple of games for someone to work their way back in and get tuned up again?
Get in the groove of things.
You know, in all honesty, it doesn't the great, 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 great players. Like Gretzky could walk off a golf course. You know, Gretzky could do it. Lemieux could do it, walking out of cancer.
Yeah.
Sid came back. Remember his first game back? He's out for like 2 years. Came back and scored in like 5 minutes. Like you can never, Jagr. When you have those hands, you can never those hands, silky mitts.
That's my nickname.
Yeah. There you go.
And I'll say even like with McDavid, I think the bigger concern is this is a kid who's young, and he hasn't quite grown into his full body and stuff. So you don't know what an injury to the collarbone can do as far as like changing bone structure and stuff. And I didn't even think of that until I was on NHL Sirius XM and they were talking about it. But I mean, it's just crazy to see what the kid can do. He split those guys like it was nothing.
That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, I hope he drinks his vitamin D.
Yeah.
No, because, you know, I mean, he's probably a guy, you know, from Southern California hockey and right here in Pasadena. The great Mr. Sunshine, Mr. Bo Bennett of the Penguins. I mean, he doesn't put three games in a row together because he's always injured. He was injured. He was like, young, and he just his bones never grew.
Yeah. A collarbone's easy to re-injure.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know, it's like let's hope he's not an injured guy.
So yeah. Load up on the vitamin D.
Yeah, vitamin D, chocolate milk.
Next one is from Ken Kallenbach.
Oh, there he is, Jarmuson.
He's asking about the Calder Trophy. He says Panarin is older, which is an advantage, but he doesn't speak English, which is a disadvantage. Do you think that cancels out?
Panarin actually speaks better
better Russian than Gino. I mean, better English than Gino almost.
Panarin though has had a fantastic year. What a great player.
I think Panarin is incredible. He's incredible.
Yeah.
And he may end up being the, you know, one of the best players of all time. But I think his rookie of the year, I got to give it to Dylan Larkin.
I'm going with Larkin.
I'm just saying that because you're here, but because the other guy's playing with Kane and Taves everybody. Larkin is carried, almost carried the Red Wings.
He's rookie coming in and leading the team.
Yeah, I mean, Tatar is playing okay. We've talked about Gustav not really doing much. The Witch has been hurt half the year.
Right.
And Z's playing good, but he hasn't played like Z, like, you know.
No, the rookie put him on his back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, amazing.
And then, I mean, I can't even consider him a rookie because I've seen him play so much, John Gibson, but this year is technically his rookie year. So
really,
yeah, it is technically because
because Barbecue played. Bruce put him sat him down so many times.
He puts him in the goals all the time,
and a lot of good rookies. You know, I mean, we always talk about Jack Eichel too. He's proving to be as good as advertised.
And the Duke and Domi in Arizona.
You can't even discount Duke and Domi.
Oh, they're great too.
They're scary. They're really scary.
Are scary.
We're gonna have to deal with them a lot in the future.
Yeah,
and I don't like that.
Who knows? Gibson could win it next year anyway.
Because they're gonna put him back down.
Barbecue's gonna send him back to the minors.
He'll be back down.
He'll be a rookie when he's 40.
Yeah.
I really hope not. I really hope that we just pick a horse and ride it through the playoffs this year. But
you have
we'll see
to
what happens.
You got two goals.
That's what Bruce is famous for, though.
I know he's got a tilt-a-whirl back there somewhere.
It's only happened like twice where two goaltenders have really effectively. It was like in the 70s. You know, I think Boston did it, and I think some team in the 50s did it. Where all right. Ruby is saying she votes for Dylan Larkin.
Ruby wants Larkin.
Ruby wants Larkin.
Yeah.
Next one is from Gary O'Donoghue. He wants to know what you thought of the Toronto Maple Leafs, but you haven't seen the logo.
I haven't seen the logo.
Do you want to take a second to come over?
I can Google it. Frazier said he liked it.
I like it.
Any more thoughts, Frazier?
Well, I'm going to look at it again.
Is it like the old school logo?
Little. I mean, it's still the leaf. Yeah, it looks kind of... What can you do with the leaf? As long as they keep a leaf.
That's it? It's the same thing.
Same thing, right? It's pretty old school.
It looks like the same thing to me.
Yeah.
I guess it's a little different. The writing...
Yeah.
You know what? I
tell you the truth, I like the old one better.
The old one was more defined and like kind of digitized. This one is the old school logo. It's got a lot more ridges to the leaf it used to.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one looks like purposely like it's on sale at Old Navy. Right? I mean, Shanny, once again, what are you doing, Shanny? The Isaiah Thomas of the NHL.
Well, when I said I liked it, what I meant was at least they didn't change it too much.
No, yeah. I just kind of like the regular, the matte.
But I kind of like the old one. It was a simpler leaf.
Yeah, it just kind of.
A simpler leaf for a simpler time.
Yeah.
How about trading for Stamkos? Worry about the logo for.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, Shanny.
What's more important, Shanny?
I know, geez. What's Lou Lamoriello?
One of our favorite all-time players is...
Lou Lamoriello is really picking out the signs. Shouldn't you be installing the trap, Lou?
That's probably why it went to the old logo to begin with, is Lou Lamoriello in there.
He probably thought it was the logo.
He was like, old school hockey. Why was this... All right, we're going to do this.
Yeah, they were Tim Hortons. He wrote it on a cocktail napkin.
Yeah, Lou probably, first time he watched a Maple Leaf game, they changed the logo. Hadn't seen him in the playoffs ever. The jersey hasn't done anything in 30 years, Toronto. So, it's a little too busy.
A little too busy, but not bad.
No, but I'm not a fan of that kind of weaker look. I like bold print.
Well, the old one was simple, and simple's always better.
Yeah, especially for original six teams. You don't have to make new fans in Toronto. It's not like you have to be sparkly and shiny and win over some people. You know?
You could actually put a turd sandwich on the jersey, and then you would just see it at the end of the game on the ice.
It's like if you took the Red Wing logo and put rims on it.
Exactly.
Spinners, like a spinner.
But come on, come on, guys.
Don't give them ideas.
Look at Dad Shuk flying down the ice in that spinner.
Is he rolling with 20s? Yeah.
Yeah, like, just a bigger wheel on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like a jack, like from a monster truck tire.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's it.
All right, that's all right. A wrap,
that's
man.
That's it. Any final thoughts on the Anaheim Ducks? So, who would you trade then?
I mean, a lot of.
I like Raquel. I think Raquel's playing hockey.
There's no way I'm going to get rid of Raquel.
He's a maroon.
if you get maroon, if you ask me about maroon before the All-Star break, the 10 games before that and everything, then I might be like, oh, well, I'm wavering, but that. First part of the season, Maroon looked invisible. He was nowhere to be found.
For being a big dude, he didn't hit anybody.
No, and he wasn't with Perry or Getzlaff because of it, and that's where his production dropped off. But if I had to put out anybody there, I would say there's rumors that Matt Duchene, for whatever reason, is on the market because of restricted free agent or unrestricted free agent. If that's the case, I would give up Vatanen, Maroon, and a first for Matt Duchene.
Pretty Shane.
Well, you'd have to give up the first. I don't know if they'd want. I don't know if they'd want Maroon. They have enough.
Just a little brawny guy, a brawny fill-in type.
And we haven't mentioned them too much, but Colorado is. I think they're in the playoffs as we speak, or they're right there.
They're doing better.
Yeah they are.
We just assumed that they would be
good goaltending.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not trying to be insulting here, but would you ever consider Getz?
No way.
No.
No. I can't do it. I just can't. Like, I mean, I've grown up with Getz, right? Like,
yeah.
He's too good, and yeah, maybe.
But he would bring a lot. But not because he's slumping so much, but because he would bring a lot.
Like the sell off, like what we could get. I just don't think that Perry would even play that hard if Getzlaff was gone. I feel like those two guys kind of operate like the Sedin twins,
Yeah.
Like they are twins on the ice, and when they had Bobby Ryan, it was a power line.
Yeah,
but then we had to get rid of one of them, and we made our choice. So I think Getzlaff is too good. Maybe it'll be kind of like the Thornton debacle. Do we take the C from him and give it to someone else? Uh-huh. But honestly, I just can't see it.
I know what you're saying.
If you're gonna do that, trade him because you see how it worked in San Jose.
Yeah, right.
they took it from Marlo. They don't get rid of anyone. They just take the C's off. More work for the team seamstress. as we speak right now, Nashville and the Avalanche are in the wild card.
There you go.
Out is the Minnesota Wild.
The Wild's out, huh?
The Wild is out as we speak. So are the Desert Dogs. Your Ducks are in third.
That's right. Mm. As of a win.
There you go, buddy.
Here's hoping that we can stay in third with a win tomorrow.
Yeah. By the time this comes out, you'll be in ninth.
I hope not.
Something huge will happen, though, between now and this. The last, four episodes, something huge has happened in between. This has been fantastic, Andrew. Come back.
Yeah, anytime. Andrew, you're awesome.
Come back anytime. Yeah, man. Come back anytime.
It's been awesome, definitely.
Any gigs you want to plug?
Well, as far as gigs that I want to plug, I'm going to be at the Comedy Store, and that's going to be March 4th. March 4th, 7:30 for Martin Harris's show.
Cool.
So I'll be there at the Comedy Store, and if you guys want to follow me, I'm at Funny Boydston, that's BOYDSTON, on Twitter, and you can just add me, Andrew Boydston, on Facebook if you want to see what I post about every day.
Fantastic, buddy.
Right on.
We really loved having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. And a great job.
Great job.
I will be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 25th, 26th of February.
By the way, I got to give you some props. Great job last night hosting the Dean Del Rey birthday bash, and Billy Burr was there, Joe Rogan, and Joe did a great job.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, it was an honor and a pleasure. And we had some Puckoff fans were there. I know they were tweeting me and Facebooking me. So thank you guys for coming out.
Excellent.
I know we wanted to wrap some hockey. I literally couldn't even find my go to my wife because I couldn't figure out, if you noticed during the show, I was climbing through drum equipment the whole time. I didn't know how to get from the stage, leave the stage without going in front of everyone and doing it.
Right, right, right. I couldn't get out of the balcony.
Yeah. So I'd never been in the El Rey before. So, but come out again and then we'll talk some hockey. I'll be, for the
LA people, I will be headlining Flappers the first weekend in March. So
beautiful.
We'll see you there. Mr. Frazier.
Well, you know, doing the KLOS show every Sunday night, 10 till 2 Pacific. Please check it out on iHeartRadio. If you're back east, I would love to have you check it out. And I, you know, we've got the Rams coming to town, so I've got Eric Dickerson.
Whoa.
Holy coming crap. Up.
The great.
Great Eric Dickerson.
Eric Dickerson.
Yeah. Is he going to be wearing his goggles?
Well, I hope so. He's the only guy. He went into welding after he left the NFL. So you could keep the goggles. He's the only guy that I find that's worthy of wearing those goofy looking goggles because he can actually move that fast.
There you go.
There you go.
He needs them.
he's awesome. I might have to come down just to meet that dude.
Oh, man.
So
that's
cool.
Not this Sunday. This Sunday I've got Vince Ferragamo again, who's another fantastic ex-Ram.
I might be there then, because remember I said I want to come down and plug my Flappers games.
Well, then come on down.
That'll be the one. There
you'll meet Vince. Yeah. Vince is awesome, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anaheim, you know, he's just a great player.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're propping the Rams. They're coming to town.
Tap of the stick, Mr. Bench. Great job, sir.
Great job.
Yes.
And thank everyone, and thank all of our sponsors, and thanks to all of our fans all over the world for listening, and especially to the servicemen for keeping us safe.
Yes, indeed.
So thank you, everybody.
All right, guys, for Joe Bartnick and Johnny, I want to say thank you again for checking in, and our guest, Andrew. This is Frazier Smith. We are out.